Welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex. Sorry, Vingan. I just wanted to see your face, man. Adam Vingan, fifth day in a row in for Robbie Stanley. I'm gonna ask you again. Wait, first of all, I thought you were gonna bring Arlo in today.
He's still asleep, as far as I know, and I'm gonna keep it that way.
Okay. Well, I mean, so we have 3 hours. I'd like to see Arlo pop by the studio if possible today. But in the meantime, happy Friday, everybody. Happy long weekend.
Happy Friday, long weekend, everybody.
Happy long weekend, Michelle's birthday weekend.
Oh, my God. What day is your birthday?
Monday. And we'll be off.
That's right. Memorial Day is Monday. Yeah. And you get to sleep in that day?
Man. Oh, it'll be glorious.
That's pretty
domination.
Sweet. Yes. Michelle, thank you. Intern Brandon here also. And happy Dave Matthews Band Day to all of you who celebrate. I'll see you there tonight. I'll be wearing a hat and a fake mustache.
Why?
Well, because my embarrassing dancing, you know, Katie wouldn't want anyone to know she's with me. Not that it makes sense that if she's still sitting next to me with a hat and a fake mustache, like she's still with me, but I don't know, man.
Is it that bad?
It makes no sense.
Is this dancing that bad?
No, I don't know. Actually, there's not really, like, you don't really dance today, Matthews, right? I mean, you kind of do.
You just vibe.
You kind of bop, I guess. You know, you sing the lyrics. You're a Dave Matthews hater?
I'm not a Dave Matthews hater, but I don't listen to Dave Matthews.
Yeah. You should go to a show, though.
I like Dave.
Shows are good. I like Dave, too. I mean, I don't listen to a lot of Dave, but if you have a chance to see Dave Matthews live, I would advise you to go do that. It's pretty amazing, the musicianship on display. How do I transition from that to last night's postseason? I know that on the grid here, Michelle says, Celtics so annoying. So we did not have full-on sweeps. We've got two series that are not sweeps now. But what are we thinking here? The Boston Celtics are going to pull this off? We're going to have another Boston team down 3-0, come all the way back, win 4 straight games? You guys buying that?
Was it Dan Wolkin who had a tweet a few days ago?
Oh, yes.
Talking about how...
As soon as they won one game.
Right. But what did he say? That the reason why we don't see teams come back from 3-0 deficits is because usually the team that is better is up 3-0, right? Is that basically there's, the crux of it?
And there's some truth to that, but there are times when the underdog has been up 3-0 and still won. There have been a lot of series where it's basically a toss-up, and whoever is up 3-0 wins the series. But yeah, I mean, I think most people thought this would be like Celtics in 5, right? So I suppose you can look at it that way and say, well, Celtics are now playing their best. Heat are now banged up. So why couldn't they do it? Look, there's one game. This comes down probably to one game, right? It comes down to the next game. But it's not like you get one game, this happens, and then you come home and roll them, which they did last night, and that happens too. I mean, I still would much rather be the Miami Heat right now than the Boston Celtics.
Well, I called – I had a premature called shot. And we'll actually do call your shot Friday later. But I had the premature called shot that Jimmy Butler would have 40 in this game. I was way off. He had 14 and was minus 24 on the court.
Yeah. So. He was, you know, the Celtics just started hitting everything left and right. And it's immediately like 20-7 or whatever. And I almost feel like it was like an energy saver game for Butler and some of those guys.
Yes.
It's like, you know what? It's all the next game.
Well, Boston got so ahead, and then Miami tries to play catch-up the entire game with an already banged-up roster, and then having the turnovers they did, I mean, they just played so sloppy. I think they had like I think Boston had 33 points off of Miami's turnovers. I mean, you're not going to win any game with that.
Yeah, and Boston is, you know, they're playing great defense. They can be a great defensive team. They have decided that, you know what, actually Bam Adebayo should be guarded. They should do something. And it's smart because early in the series it was like, well, he can just have his and then we're just not going to help. But, I mean, it's been a good, you know, it's been a good adjustment by Joe Mazzulla, who, you know, everybody, you know. Like, I mean, I think Joe Mazzulla is early. I mean, it's early for him to be a head coach to have this job. But, you know, it's like everything that goes wrong, you want to look at him. I'd rather look at, like, Jaylen Brown and say, you know, hit some shots. Play to your capability. But
do you know Joe Mazzulla and Jimmy Butler played against each other in the NCAA tournament, and Jimmy Butler beat him?
I do remember that, actually.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. It adds up.
West Virginia, I mean, Marquette.
Big East rivalry right there. right? Is West Virginia isn't the Big East, right? I can't keep track
of it
anymore.
Were
no, they're Big 12 now, aren't they?
Now they're Big 12, but they were Big East, right?
I can't say I pay attention to West Virginia University basketball. Sorry.
Well, it's been an interesting run for them lately.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Yeah, on the NHL side, Joe Pavelski keeping it alive. Dallas Stars still in this thing, I guess. I mean, I guess this means that we get a hockey game this weekend, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Otherwise, do you know when they would have started?
I do, actually, because the NHL put this out. So if the Western Conference Final is done in five games now, so if Vegas wins tomorrow, the Stanley Cup Final will start on Wednesday in Vegas, presuming Vegas wins Game 5, of course. If the series extends past Game 5, if Dallas wins Game 5 and it needs 6 or 7, it will start on Saturday, June 3rd.
Wow.
So if Vegas wins tomorrow, the Stanley Cup Final starts on Wednesday. If Dallas wins tomorrow, the Stanley Cup Final starts next Saturday.
If Vegas won last night, when would it have started?
Probably,
still Wednesday?
Probably Wednesday.
Still Wednesday. Yes. Yeah, so we would have been sitting here all weekend. So, hey, we got a hockey game, got a basketball game this weekend. Got SEC tournament baseball. By the way, Vanderbilt loses. They can't get past Florida, so they're in the losers bracket playing Alabama today at 6:30. So I think Vanderbilt is locked up hosting all through, you know, for as long as they're playing. But you know, now I think it's like you work on your pitching depth and see what you can do today, and then you would be in the semifinals tomorrow if you can beat Alabama tonight. So basically that's where we are. We have some sports of interest. And I do think that I think Vegas is just going to end that series. I don't know about you. You know, I mean, I Dallas is a resilient, tough team. Every once in a while they accidentally fall on someone with their stick and, you know, and things like that. Have some mishaps, but I think Vegas is better.
Well, it was going to take the Stars' top players to win that game last night. Without Jamie Benn, of course, suspended for two games. Evgeny Dodonov also injured, so two of their top forwards out of the lineup. Jason Robertson scored twice last night, as you said. Joe Pavelski scored the overtime winner to keep the Stars alive. That was also the Stars' first win in overtime in the postseason. They were 0-4 in overtime before winning last night, so they broke that schneid. But I think the Stars have enough top-end talent to extend this series. I still think Vegas will ultimately win it just because how rare it is that NHL teams come back from 3-0, but unlike in the NBA,
It has happened.
It's happened four times. So I would not be shocked if Dallas pulled off another one on Saturday, but ultimately I still think we're headed towards a Vegas-Florida Stanley Cup Final. And as I said, if Vegas wins tomorrow, we'll get Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final on Wednesday. If Dallas wins tomorrow, it will be next Saturday, Game 1 of the Final. And whichever team in the West wins will host Game 1, with Florida being the road team.
This is always a topic of discussion when something like this happens with Florida. Is it bad that Florida's just going to be sitting around forever the way they're playing?
That's a good question. You know what? I don't know. I'm sure there's been some sort of statistical analysis which breaks down the teams, how long they sit with how well they do. I mean, from our personal experience, when the Predators swept the Blackhawks in 2017, I think we sat around for a week before they played St. Louis.
Yeah, and they went right into one game one.
Yeah, so I mean, it could, I think at this time of year, I think it's helpful, you know, to rest. But yeah, I mean, it's possible that the Panthers will have close to 2 weeks off before they play.
Yeah, it's a little excessive. We're here in the game studio sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. And if you'd like to get in on this, call or text 1025 The Game phone, text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Mark is already on the text line saying happy birthday to Michelle. So Thank you, Mark.
I do have
all caps.
Is Michelle one of those Gen Zers who you're going to write on the back of your car?
I am barely a Gen Z.
Are you going to write on the back of your car, "It's my birthday, buy me a drink, Venmo at Michelle Knezovic"? No. Or whatever your Venmo is?
No, but I will take Venmos.
Why not, though, actually? That's not a bad idea.
Sometimes I just want to put like $0 and say, "Here's some free advice. Don't ask for money from strangers."
Sometimes
to buy alcohol.
Sometimes it works. I mean,
listen, I'm gonna put it in my savings account.
I'd like to be the first, maybe the first Gen Xer to try that. Okay, when we come back, we're gonna get into. I want some Adam Vingan analysis of some of the. Well, I guess really they're the technically right now the Milwaukee Admirals, but they are some of the young guys on that on that team who are up here who are supposed to be the core. We're gonna talk about like are they actually a core on the rise for the Preds? But right now, the first caller. You are going to win a pair of tickets to see The Used and Pierce the Veil Municipal Auditorium May 31st. First caller, 615-737-1025. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex, 1025-1063 The Game. Join 1025-1063 The Game on June 6th for The Night Before. Charity Writers Round featuring Saving Abel, benefiting Souls for Souls. General admission, $20 with every ticket going to purchase a new pair of shoes for a child experiencing homelessness in Middle Tennessee. It's happening at the brand new venue, the Ballad East, next to the Gallatin Hotel in East Nashville. Doors open at 6 p.m. Get your tickets now at thegamenashville.com/golf.
I think that's right down the street from my house,
it sounds
like.
Vingan, I expect you there, and you can just walk down the street. Also, Robbie and Rex are presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team to see why they are referred so often. All right, so as we speak here, first of all, Vingan, I'm looking at the live stream, okay? First of all, I'm very bad about tweeting about the show. I just tweeted about the show. Although I just tweeted the tweet about the Celtics pulling this off. We're not talking about that anymore, but that's okay. I also need to adjust the camera because my head's getting cut off. Do I really care? Do I want to be on camera? No, but I'm going to adjust it. So let's do
this. Joe can't reach it.
Let's do this in real time. Hold on.
Joe's got baby arms.
I'm Skaronski over here.
Skaronski
of radio hosts.
I was about to say he's the Peter Skaronski of morning sports talk.
Okay, let's see how that did. Did that work?
Yeah, you look great.
Yeah? Okay, I'm on the because sometimes like I'll look on there and it's like Robbie's like way low on him or way high on me or something, and it looks weird.
Well, Jared was the last person to use that camera, so.
Oh well, of course he has to.
You're just a little bit taller.
Yeah.
But we'll talk to Jared at 7 o'clock.
We will talk to Jared at 7. Apparently, he's talking about Will Levis touching his face.
Yeah,
I don't really get it.
Jared's Film Room.
Yeah. Yeah. Hashtag Jared's Film Room. We have Caller Shot Friday at 6:45. Jared at 7. Red Rant today. A Red Rant day. Going into birthday weekend for Michelle. Then we have TD, Teron Davenport, as always, at 8. And Weekend Winners at 8:30. So I guess you're picking for Robbie, Vinkin.
Okay.
So there you go. You're picking for Robbie.
I can do it.
But right now, what I need you to do is give me your thoughts on, we've had a lot of fun with the Admirals. Oh, the Admirals! Right?
They lost last night. Sorry, guys.
How closely did you follow it?
I was very much asleep.
So
they lost 6-4 to the Coachella Valley Firebirds in game one of their conference final.
The Coachella, what is it, Arcade Firebirds? Is that what are they?
The Coachella Valley Firebirds. Philip Tomasino scored last night. Michael McCarron scored last night. Joachim Kemmel scored again last night. Askarov had 23 saves on 28 shots.
So Askarov, and I had heard, I think it may have been Nick Kieser talking about this. I think it was. I'll talk about how Askarov in a lot of these series, like he has a bad early, first game is bad. He gets kind of torched, and then he kind of finds his footing and plays really well. It's kind of interesting.
So we'll see if that repeats itself.
Maybe the Preds need to keep Saros around just to for game one of series in the playoffs down well in the future.
Yes. Game two, if you're interested, is tomorrow at 9 p.m. Central. I believe the Predators are hosting watch parties for all of these games at Fordyce Center in Bellevue, if I'm not mistaken. So if you end up going to the one in Antioch, I'm sorry. But I believe it's Bellevue.
Okay.
We should probably confirm that.
I was going to say, let's confirm that, yes. But I want to have the discussion about the Admirals is, of course, it's the main guys. You just mentioned some of them. Tomasino, as we know, a guy who could be a big part of the Preds' future. It's supposed to be a big. But I think a lot of these guys are certainly exciting young players who could be a part of the Preds' future. My question for you, Adam, is, so you think about a core, right? So, you know, to me, like a core of a team, especially when you're talking about forwards, I mean, I think mostly like, okay, this is your top six, right? And mm-hmm. what we obviously don't know, and I'm talking a couple years down the line. I mean, at some point, Johansson, Duchesne, you're moving on, you're moving into a new era, and I think certainly there's a name or two, at least right now, that we don't know that will be a part of that future. But what I want to know from you is, of these guys, so let's go through. I just mentioned Tomasino. Yusel Parsons, and I think really is promising and showed that this year. Luke Evangelista, I thought in his brief time, you could see it. Igor Afanasyev, Joachim Kemmel. It's a lot of, first of all, it is different and it's encouraging and it's refreshing that the Preds have this many forwards at once who have promise. But my question for you, and I know you don't know the answer for certain, but just what you think from what you've seen of them, how many of these guys do you think will be core players, top six level forwards for the Nashville Predators long term?
That is a good question, and you're right. I don't know the answer. No, I think of all of those players, the one that I have the most confidence in is Luke Evangelista. I was very impressed by what I saw from him at the NHL level near the end of the season, and he leads the Admirals in scoring in the playoffs with 13 points in 11 games, 4 goals, 9 assists. So, you know, to me, I feel like Evangelista might have the highest ceiling. Now, Joachim Kemmel has 6 goals in 9 playoff games.
He's younger,
and he has the first round pick pedigree. He was the number 17 pick in the 2022 NHL draft. So I'm just like, oh my God, it's like I'm looking at his player page. His birthday was in 2004. Man, that makes me feel old.
Yes.
That probably even makes Michelle feel old.
It's all depressing.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, think about things that someone who was born in 2004 has never experienced.
I mean, that's my oldest kid was born in 2004.
Does your oldest kid know what a CD is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Jackson, old soul.
And we had CDs. Yeah, like, I mean, in his youth, we had a CD player in the car.
I just sure. wasn't
a
sure.
A VCR, that. Though? Maybe not.
Well, he does, but fair point on 2004. Yeah.
Rex Road. I feel like Rex Road, you probably owned a Zune. You were like the one person who owned a Zune. Do you remember those?
What the heck is a Zune?
That was Microsoft's answer to the iPod.
No, I didn't even. I had no idea.
It did not go well, which is why
apparently
it's
not.
Exactly why you don't know. Anyway,
I had a Walkman though.
Kemmel, Kemmel has been scoring at a ludicrous rate in the Calder Cup playoffs, but.
And I mean, this is a fast rise for a guy who was drafted
right.
a year ago.
Admittedly, I haven't watched enough of Kemmel to have, a concrete feeling on, you know, what he could ultimately be. You know, I do think that Philip Tomasino will be a top six forward. We've definitely seen enough of him. I think Afanasyev is probably the next Yakov Trenin,
yeah.
Tanner Jeannot type, like that, like the third line linchpin.
Yeah, and that's fine. Right. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, Trenin, I think Trenin in the last couple of years, really, I think he's kind of exceeded what people thought he was probably going to be with the Preds at some point. He was a promise.
It took a while.
But it took a while, and I think that's he plays his role well. I'm with you. I think Afanasyev is exactly that kind of player. Parsonen is the really interesting one.
Yeah, no, Parsonen had, received a great opportunity during the season, and I know he was hurt and missed a lot of time. But some of the goals he scored and the moves he made, you know, those were incredibly impressive. So to me, I feel like of that group, I think Evangelista, Parsonen, and Kemmel probably lead the way for me. You know, my question is, are these guys going to be the type of forward that the Predators have struggled to develop in their history? Will Evangelista become the next Victor Arvidsson, in the sense that Arvidsson had some good years here? You know, he was a top line forward, but in the league, if you're ranking top six wingers or top line wingers around the league, Arvidsson never really came close to cracking that list. Like, is Evangelista going to be a good but not great top six forward, or is he going to be the type of top six forward that this team has, you know, had a hard time finding themselves over the past two plus decades?
Well, you mentioned Arvidsson. He set the club record for goals.
He did.
Which wasn't high.
Correct.
Now they have two all-time who have hit 40 just recently. But he was part of, arguably, I think for stretches, the best line in hockey, right? I mean, they were at least in the discussion.
They were very good.
Johansson, Forsberg, Arvidsson, when they were playing, you know, when they were playing like they were playing at the time and producing like that, they were right there. So, and that's the thing. That was Johansson, obviously, comes via trade. Forsberg comes via trade. But
I count Forsberg.
The combination of players was lethal.
Yeah, I count Forsberg more in the develop stage just because when they acquired him, he hadn't played yet.
Think back to Forsberg, and I know you were still covering the Capitals at the time. But like Forsberg in Milwaukee, obviously there was a lot of excitement about him. But I mean, I think you probably saw. Let's see, you were here in 15.
Yes.
Yeah. In the 15 playoffs, where they actually probably should have beat the Blackhawks.
I was there.
I mean, that was Forsberg's kind of breakout, right? I mean, that was basically when it was like, okay, this guy could actually be something.
Right, and I think of Forsberg in the same way. Like I think Forsberg is a good top six forward in the NHL. Do I think he's a great top six forward in the NHL? No. I think if you're ranking players in his position around the league, he's probably in the upper half, but I would not say he is a bona fide star.
That's fine.
But and I'm not sure if any of the young players we've been talking about are going to be that.
Like, okay. Well, that's that, and we, of course,
but of course
no
I have
one
no
can
idea.
Be sure of anything.
No idea.
But that does bring up, I think, a really interesting question about how it will all look together, and we will get to that next. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. 102.5 and 106.3 The Game has your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Dave Matthews Band at Bridgestone Arena. When? Tonight! Courtesy of Green Trees Company Dispensary, providing high-quality legal THC products. Text in the keyword band, BAND, now to the game text line at 615-737-1025 to enter to win. And if you get these tickets and you go, come see me, say hi. We're devising our pre-gaming plans as we speak. And, I know that it's very cliche, but I just want him to play number 41. He's not going to play two-step. He never plays two-step anymore. I've accepted that. If I can get Dancing Nancy's and Jimmy thing, it's an incredible night.
The first three listeners who find Joe on the concourse at Bridgestone Arena and say, "Hey, you're Joe Rexroad," he'll buy you a beer.
Yeah, but...
Yep, he said yes. You heard it here first.
But like, can I buy you a beer like far away from Broadway?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say not in the arena because it'll be expensive.
Yeah, well, there's that, but then, like, I know some places not too far away where you can actually buy a beer for less than $27. We can talk it over, okay? We're in the game studio sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, Electrical, and we're talking Preds with Vingan, and look, we're talking this young core. So I have other questions for you. So first of all, okay, I think you have made it clear you don't see superstar any of these guys. And we don't know. I mean, you never know. Like a Kemmel, to me, he's a fast riser, but like it's hard to know, right? I do think we may see top six really good players somewhere in here. The question is there a combination? Maybe you can think of one now, but is it possible to have a combination of these guys where you have a line like that? You know, again, Johansson, Forsberg, Arvidsson, none of them were superstars, but when they had a time where the combination of their skills meshed perfectly, and they were just a lethal line. You know, do you see something like that with? Because I look at a Parson and I just think his size, his physicality. I think he really sees the ice well. I think he really has a passing feel. I could see him being part of something special at some point if he's got guys who are finishers.
Well, one young player that we failed to mention, because has the most NHL experience, is Cody Glass.
Yeah, and he could be very important too.
And I thought that Cody Glass took some steps forward this season, and he is currently playing for Canada at the World Championships and playing as their top line center. In their most recent game, he centered a line with Milan Lucic and Adam Fantilli, who is expected to be the number two pick in the NHL draft, which is here in about a month, behind Connor Bedard. So, you know, getting some, you know, valuable reps there with good players. So, and we also didn't mention Tommy Novak, you know, who I think it was the most impressive of the younger players.
Well, that's a great point, and that's a total oversight on my part. And I think it speaks to, and I'm probably wrong, but I still feel like, yeah, he was on a heater. He did change my mind some this year, but obviously not enough for me to, you know, not forget mentioning him there. How good do you think he could be?
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think Tommy Novak is going to produce at the rate that he did last season, which was impressive. But, you know, to me, I see Cody Glass similarly to how I talked about Igor Afanasyev. I could see Tommy Novak becoming the next Colton Sissons. Like, I could see Tommy Novak being the reliable third, fourth line center.
I mean, you look at, like, Florida right now, for example. I mean, it's important to have depth of quality players. There are different ways to do it. Obviously, Tkachuk is the main, you know, is the main reason where they're where they are. But, yeah.
When you talk about that line, Florida, you've got Matthew Tkachuk. We've talked a lot about Matthew Tkachuk. You've got Sam Bennett, who's been great too, and you've got Nick Cousins.
Preds legend,
Nick Cousins, who scored the winning goal to send the Panthers to the Eastern Conference Final, knocking out the Toronto Maple Leafs.
He talked a lot of trash about it. He is so annoying if you're on the other team, isn't he? He's so punchable.
Well, he was plenty punchable when he was here, I'm sure.
Yes.
Do I see a combination in the future? I could see Cody Glass and Luke Evangelista being a pair, you know, two-thirds of a top line. I could see Parson and Evangelista, you know, being two-thirds of a top line. You know, it is going to be interesting this coming season, assuming that the injured players who, you know, missed a lot of time near the end of the season, Philip Forsberg, Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, are all healthy and back, and where those young players fit in with those veteran players.
Next year is going to be really interesting from that perspective for sure.
Right. Like, I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, Cody Glass got a lot of run with Forsberg and Duchene. Am I making that up? I can't recall.
I'm making that up.
That could be something. Parson could be there. You know, I think we've talked about this, or you and Robbie have talked about this. You know, I am, you know, convinced that Ryan Johansson's days as a top six forward are over. I think you're going to have an $8 million per season, like, third line center next season for the Predators. I just, you know, I don't think Ryan Johansson is at a level anymore where he can consistently play in the top six. Now, he can still be on your top power play, but when it comes to 5-on-5 play, I'm not expecting much from Ryan Johansson over these next couple of years.
I totally get you saying that. I do go back to, you know, the exit interviews, and I think it was encouraging, like, hearing him talk about camp, basically understanding that, like, now, like, he has to, like, hold people off. Like, he has to prove that he deserves. I mean, that's basically what he said. You know, he's like, these young guys are coming, and now you got to. I wouldn't be surprised if Ryan Johansson came out in camp and looked really good and said, hey, I can still play and earns that. And I think a lot of Preds fans would probably, like, not be happy because they want to move on and they want to move to the young guys. But I'm just not convinced. I'm just not convinced that Johansson is just going to take a back seat and be relegated to a different spot in the lineup. We'll see. I mean, he is certainly going to have to prove it, because I think what you said there is what a lot of people think. The majority of people who follow this team think.
You know, I heard what Ryan said after the season, and I feel like I've heard some form of that from Ryan after multiple seasons.
Yes, but hold on. Now, let's remember how he responded to being left unprotected, not this last season, but the season before.
Mm-hmm.
That's a recent example of him actually responding.
That is true.
I mean, it's up and down, but I feel like this might be an up.
And, so goes the Nashville Predators' career of Ryan Johansson. It's been up and down and up and down, which you don't want from someone that you're paying that much money to. So you're right. You know, he did respond, and as did Matt Duchene, to being exposed in the Seattle expansion draft, and he had a good season after that. But, you know, having, you know, been around Ryan as long as I was, I feel like I've heard some form of that a lot from him. And you know,
sometimes he's backed it up and sometimes he hasn't.
Right. And, you know, you don't know what you're going to get. You know, sometimes you get the season you did, you know, after Seattle entered the league. And sometimes you get, you know, down seasons like this past season. So, you know, you can't project exactly what you're going to get from Ryan Johansson, which I said is not something that you want to hear about your, you know, who at one point was your highest paid forward.
I guess with the young guys, what I wonder is, like, do you have a lot of pretty good to good players, like whatever you want to call them, middle six forwards, you know, that
mid six forwards?
Are they kind of mid?
Mid six forwards.
There you go. That are you know, good to have in the lineup, but like it's like if you could turn two of them into one player, you know, or you somehow like you have to have a higher level of player like Kemmel and Evangelista. Do you think that in a, you know, 2-3 years we're talking about like guys who have a chance to give you 30 goals, 60 points, right in that range on a consistent basis,
which would make them Victor Arvidsson, right? That's sort of what I talked about. And look,
to me, that would be, if you have that, okay.
You need that. You do need that. Every team needs
but
that.
But that's no sure thing.
No, it's not. And the issue is that you need players like, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm picking on Victor Arvidsson here, but you need players like Victor Arvidsson was in Nashville and sort of still is in Los Angeles, where, you know, you can count on him for 25 to 30 goals and 50 to 60 points. Those players, you know, are valuable, but you need higher end players.
No, I don't disagree, right. But I still think I'm not sure they're that though. You know, and of course, it's early. No one can be sure of anything.
Right. I'm looking at the Panthers lineup during the regular season. So Matthew Tkachuk led the team with 109 points. This is forwards only. Barkov had 78. Carter Verhaeghe had 73, including 42 goals. Sam Reinhart had 67, including 31 goals. You know, even Sam Bennett, who only played 63 games, had 40 points. You know, they had, you know, like you need that. It's good to have that 30 goal, 60 point guy, but you need a couple players above that.
Yeah,
and that's why I'm not sure.
You can have a couple point a game or better guys. That's great, of course. And yeah, I don't think it would be realistic or reasonable right now to project that with any of these guys. We just don't know, right?
No.
What if someone said you must bet either way right now that one of them will become a guy at that level?
I would probably say Evangelista.
Okay.
But I feel like he stood out to me in a way that the others didn't.
He's good.
I think he's a special player. Now, I'm not like Robbie, who said he was going to be a point-per-game player in a couple of years or whatever ridiculous thing he said.
Did he say that?
Yeah, I think we talked about that one time when I was on the show, that he predicted Evangelista was going to be a point-per-game player. I don't think that's going to happen. Mm. But I think Evangelista can be a really good top-six forward.
Okay.
But not the type of top-six forward who's going to get all-star nods and, you know, be in line for awards or anything like that.
All right. Well, you've motivated both Evangelista and Johansson in this segment.
I aim to please.
That's right. We'll save some of that audio. And when we come back, we're going to call some shots. It's Call Your Shot Friday. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. 102.5 and 106.3 The Game has your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Dave Matthews Band at Bridgestone Arena. When? Tonight! courtesy of Green Trees Company Dispensary, providing high-quality legal THC products. Text in the keyword BAND, B-A-N-D, now to the game text line at 615-737-1025 to enter to win. And if you get these tickets and you go, come see me, say hi. We're devising our pre-gaming plans as we speak. And, I know that it's very cliche, but I just want him to play number 41. He's not going to play two-step. He never plays two-step anymore. I've accepted that. If I can get Dancing Nancy's and Jimmy thing, it's an incredible night.
The first three listeners who find Joe on the concourse at Bridgestone Arena and say, "Hey, you're Joe Rexroad," he'll buy you a beer.
Yeah, but
yep, he said yes. But you heard it here first.
But like, can I buy you a beer like far away from Broadway?
Oh, you know? Yeah. I thought you were going to say not in the arena because it'll be expensive.
Yeah, well, there's that. But then like I know some places not too far away where you can actually buy a beer for less than $27. We can talk it over, okay? We're in the game studio sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, Electrical. And we're talking Preds with Vingan. And look, we're talking this young core. So I have other questions for you. So first of all, okay, I think you have made it clear you don't see superstar any of these guys. And we don't know. I mean, you never know. Like a Kemmel, to me, he's a fast riser. But like it's hard to know, right? I do think we may see top six really good players somewhere in here. The question is there a combination? Maybe you can think of one now, but is it possible to have a combination of these guys where you have a line like that? You know, again, Johansson, Forsberg, Arvidsson, none of them were superstars, but when they had a time where the combination of their skills meshed perfectly and they were just a lethal line. You know, do you see something like that with, because I look at a Parsonen and I just think his size, his physicality, I think he really sees the ice well. I think he really has a passing feel. I could see him being part of something special at some point if he's got guys who are finishers.
Well, one young player that we failed to mention because he's has the most NHL experience is Cody Glass.
Yeah, and he could be very important too.
And I thought that Cody Glass took some steps forward this season, and he is currently playing for Canada at the World Championships and playing as their top line center. In their most recent game, he centered a line with Milan Lucic and Adam Fantilli, who is expected to be the number two pick in the NHL draft, which is here in about a month, behind Connor Bedard. So, you know, getting some, you know, valuable reps there with good players. So, and we also didn't mention Tommy Novak, you know, who I think it was the most impressive of the younger players.
Well, that's a great point, and that's a total oversight on my part. And I think it speaks to, and I'm probably wrong, but I still feel like, yeah, he was on a heater. He did change my mind some this year, but obviously not enough for me to, you know, not forget mentioning him there. How good do you think he could be?
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think Tommy Novak is going to produce at the rate that he did last season, which was impressive. But, you know, to me, I see Cody Glass similarly to how I talked about Igor Afanasyev. I could see Tommy Novak becoming the next Colton Sissons. Like, I could see Tommy Novak being the reliable third, fourth line center.
I mean, you look at like Florida right now, for example. I mean, it's important to have depth of quality players. It's not like you.
Like,
I mean,
there
are different ways to do it. Obviously, Tkachuk is the main. You know, is the main reason where they're where they are. But yeah,
when you talk about that line, Florida, you've got Matthew Tkachuk. We've talked a lot about Matthew Tkachuk. You've got Sam Bennett, who's been great too, and you've got Nick Cousins,
Preds legend,
Nick Cousins. Who scored the winning goal to send the Panthers to the Eastern Conference Final, knocking out the Toronto Maple Leafs in five games.
He talked
a lot
of trash about it. He is so annoying if you're on the other team, isn't he? He's so punchable.
Well, he was plenty punchable when he was here, I'm sure.
Yes.
So do I see a combination in the future? You know, I could see Cody Glass and Luke Evangelista being a pair, you know, two-thirds of a top line. I could see Parsonen and Evangelista, you know, being two-thirds of a top line. you know, it is going to be interesting this coming season, assuming that the injured players who, you know, missed a lot of time near the end of the season, Philip Forsberg, Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, are all healthy and back, and where those young players fit in with those veteran players.
Now next year is going to be really interesting from that perspective, for sure.
Right. Like, I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, Cody Glass got a lot of run with Forsberg and Duchene. Am I making that up? I can't recall.
No, you're not making that up.
You know, that could be something. Parsonen could be there. You know, I think we've talked about this, or you and Robbie have talked about this. You know, I am, you know, convinced that Ryan Johansson's days as a top six forward are over. I think you're going to have an $8 million per season, like, third line center next season for the Predators. I just, you know, I don't think Ryan Johansson is at a level anymore where he can consistently play in the top six. Now, he can still be on your top power play, but when it comes to 5-on-5 play, I'm not expecting much from Ryan Johansson over these next couple of years.
I totally get you saying that. I do go back to, you know, the exit interviews, and I think it was encouraging, like, hearing him talk about camp, basically understanding that, like, now, like, he has to, like, hold people off. Like, he has to prove that he deserves. I mean, that's basically what he said. You know, he's like, these young guys are coming, and now you got to. I wouldn't be surprised if Ryan Johansson came out in camp and looked really good and said, hey, I can still play and earns that. And I think a lot of Preds fans would probably, like, not be happy because they want to move on and they want to move to the young guys. But I'm just not convinced. I'm just not convinced that Johansson is just going to take a back seat and be relegated to a different spot in the lineup. We'll see. I mean, he is certainly going to have to prove it, because I think what you said there is what a lot of people think. The majority of people who follow this team think.
You know, I heard what Ryan said after the season, and I feel like I've heard some form of that from Ryan after multiple seasons.
Yes, but hold on. Now, let's remember how he responded to being left unprotected, not this last season, but the season before.
Mm-hmm.
That's a recent example of him actually responding.
That is true.
I mean, it's up and down, but I feel like this might be an up.
And, so goes the Nashville Predators career of Ryan Johansson. It's been up and down and up and down, which you don't want from someone that you're paying that much money to. So you're right. You know, he did respond, and as did Matt Duchene, to being exposed in the Seattle expansion draft, and he had a good season after that. But, you know, having, you know, been around Ryan as long as I was, I feel like I've heard some form of that a lot from him. And you know,
sometimes he's backed it up and sometimes he has.
Right. And, you know, you don't know what you're going to get. You know, sometimes you get the season you did, you know, after Seattle entered the league. And sometimes you get, you know, down seasons like this past season. So, you know, you can't project exactly what you're going to get from Ryan Johansson, which I said is not something that you want to hear about your, you know, who at one point was your highest paid forward.
I guess with the young guys, what I wonder is, like, do you have a lot of pretty good to good players, like, whatever you want to call them, middle six forwards, you know, that
mid six forwards?
Are they kind of mid?
Mid six forwards.
There you go. That are you know, good to have in the lineup, but, like, it's like if you could turn two of them into one player, you know, or you somehow, like, you have to have a higher level of player. Like Kemmel and Evangelista, do you think that in a, you know, 2-3 years we're talking about, like, guys who have a chance to give you 30 goals, 60 points, right, in that range on a consistent basis?
Which would make them Victor Arvidsson, right? That's sort of what I talked about. And look,
to me, that would be, if you have that, okay.
You need that. You do need that. Every team needs
but
that.
But that's no sure thing.
No, it's not. And the issue is that you need players like, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm picking on Victor Arvidsson here, but you need players like Victor Arvidsson was in Nashville and sort of still is in Los Angeles, where, you know, you can count on him for 25 to 30 goals and 50 to 60 points. Those players, you know, are valuable, but you need higher end players.
No, I don't disagree, right. But I still think I'm not sure they're that though. You know, and of course, it's early. No one can be sure of anything.
Right. I'm looking at the Panthers lineup during the regular season. So Matthew Tkachuk led the team with 109 points. This is forwards only. Barkov had 78. Carter Verhaeghe had 73, including 42 goals. Sam Reinhardt had 67, including 31 goals. You know, even Sam Bennett, who only played 63 games, had 40 points. You know, they had, you know, like you need that. It's good to have that 30 goal, 60 point guy, but you need a couple players above that.
Yeah,
and that's why I'm not sure.
You can have a couple point a game or better guys. That's great, of course. And yeah, I don't think it would be realistic or reasonable right now to project that with any of these guys. We just don't know, right?
No.
What if someone said you must bet either way right now that one of them will become a guy at that level?
I would probably say Evangelista.
Okay.
But I feel like he stood out to me in a way that the others didn't.
He's good.
I think he's a special player. Now, I'm not like Robbie, who said he was going to be a point per game player in a couple of years or whatever ridiculous thing he said.
Did he say that?
Yeah, I think we talked about that one time when I was on the show, that he predicted Evangelista was going to be a point per game player. I don't think that's going to happen. Mm. But I think Evangelista can be a really good top six forward.
Okay.
But not the type of top six forward who's going to get all-star nods and, you know, be in line for awards or anything like that.
All right. Well, you've motivated both Evangelista and Joe Hansen in this segment.
I aim to please.
That's right. We'll save some of that audio. And when we come back, we're going to call some shots. It's Call Your Shot Friday. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game.